The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, June the 15th, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 55th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, though this week may push that, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included: The Globe and Mail ran a story on the steampunk-influenced production of The Comedy of Errors by Bard on the Beach, running in Vancouver, British Columbia through September. Greenville Online covered the many Shakespeare productions in the upstate South Carolina area, including Love's Labor's Lost, A Midsummer Night's Dream, Coriolanus, and two Twelfth Nights. The News Leader ran an overview of the upcoming season's slate of plays by the American Shakespeare Center in Staunton, Virginia, including Midsummer, Antony and Cleopatra, The Winter's Tale, and Henry VI Part 1, which they're calling Joan of Arc. Tulane University sent out a press release about the production of Cymbeline by the New Orleans Shakespeare Festival that runs on that campus the second half of June. Playbill ran a story on the announcement that Trevor Nunn will stage a revival of the 1963 production of The War of the Roses, a distillation of the Henry VI plays and Richard III by Peter Hall and John Barton. And this will take place in October at the Rose Theater in the Kingston section of London. The LA Times ran a story on efforts by Shakespeare Orange County to be as culturally diverse as possible, beginning with their upcoming Romeo and Juliet with Asian leads and a folklorico group in the ball scene. The Huffington Post ran a story on the number of Shakespeare-related plays on and off Broadway, including the musical comedy Something Rotten and the real Merry Housewives of Windsor. The Houston Press ran a story on the announcement by Houston's Main Street Theater of their 2015-16 season, which includes Twelfth Night. The Daily Mail ran a story on the publication of four of Shakespeare's plays retold in emoji. The headline discussed academics' outrage, but really, no one is going to substitute one for the other. The Washington Post ran an opinion piece titled, "Why I Don't Want to Assign Shakespeare Anymore." It was very passionate. I think the writer has some valid points, but the dismissive tone about a long-dead British guy says more about the writer's fear and dislike of Shakespeare far more than the piece does about why Shakespeare should be replaced. You can get more of my response at the blog. Broadway World previewed the upcoming production of The Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare off-Broadway, a venture of the theater project and TP and Company, running from late June to mid-July at the Players Theater in New York City. Cincinnati.com previewed the upcoming Shakespeare in the Park tour for Cincinnati Shakespeare Company, including Romeo and Juliet and A Midsummer Night's Dream. CT Post ran a story on the upcoming production of All's Well That Ends Well by Shakespeare on the Sound, running through the end of the month at Pinckney Park in Norwalk, Connecticut. NJ.com previewed the gender-switched production of Love's Labor's Lost by Hudson Shakespeare Company for this summer's Shakespeare in the Park series, running at various locations around the Jersey City and Hoboken area. Vedette Online previewed this season of the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, which runs from late June through the first weekend of August, and includes Love's Labor's Lost and Richard II, as well as two modern plays, Love's Labor's One and Q Brothers Q Gents, a hip-hop version of Two Gentlemen of Verona. The Bozeman Daily Chronicle previewed this year's season of Montana Shakespeare in the Park, opening June 17th in Bozeman, Montana, with a Wild West-influenced The Taming of the Shrew. Herald Mail Media previewed the production of Romeo and Juliet, launching this weekend in Hagerston, Maryland, as part of their second annual Shakespeare in the Park. The Chattanoogan previewed the upcoming staged reading of As You Like It by Shakespeare Chattanooga. This reading will take place next Thursday at the Highland Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Broadway World also previewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by Optimus Theater, which is part of Milwaukee, Wisconsin's Shakespeare in the Park, and will take place in Kadish Park the middle 2 weekends of July. News OK reviewed The Winter's Tale by Oklahoma Shakespeare in the Park, saying the production that runs through the weekend at Myriad Gardens Water Stage in Oklahoma City almost offered two plus plays for the price of one, and is highly recommended. The Boise Daily reviewed The Tempest by Idaho Shakespeare Festival, running through late July in Boise, Idaho, saying it shines visually, but is otherwise uneven. The Denver Post ran a review of Much Ado About Nothing by Colorado Shakespeare Festival, saying that the Victorian-era 1840s set production running through the first week of August on the campus of the University of Colorado Boulder is arch and lively. The Baltimore Sun reviewed The Two Gentlemen of Verona by Annapolis Shakespeare Company, running through the end of the month at their Studio 111 complex in Annapolis, Maryland, saying that it is entertaining and that Crab the Dog steals the bone. Show. Broadway World reviewed The Tempest by Kentucky Shakespeare, saying the production running through July as part of the Bardathon in Louisville, Kentucky, has something for everyone to enjoy. And finally, the Birmingham Mail reviewed Othello by Royal Shakespeare Company, saying that the history-making production, with both Othello and Iago being African, running through the end of August is both brutal and compelling. The Financial Times also reviewed the production, saying that while it is the noblest the reviewer has seen in a while, it is ultimately a failure. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On June 9th, 68 AD, Nero, the Roman emperor oft cited by Shakespeare, committed suicide. On June 10th, 1421, Henry V landed in France for his third and final expedition, from which he would not return. All of the events of the play Henry V occurred before this expedition. On June 11th, 1456, Anne Neville was born. Daughter of Richard the Kingmaker Neville, she married Edward, the son and heir to Henry VI. As we know from our readings, however, Edward was killed in the War of the Roses, and she would later marry Richard, Duke of Gloucester, and she would become Queen of England. Yes, she's that Lady Anne from Richard III. On June 12, 1488, Richard II faced down the Peasants' Revolt during the early days of his reign when he was just out of his teens. While he was successful, it affected his reign by creating a sense of having absolute power invested in the monarch, one that would make usurpation a more popular proposition. On or around June 13th, 45 BC, Marcus Brutus divorced his first wife, Claudia Pulchra Major, so that he could marry Portia Catonis, the wife that we see in Julius Caesar. I didn't even know he had another wife. On June 14th, 1949, noted Shakespearean actor Anthony Scher was born in Cape Town, South Africa. One of his greatest roles was that of Richard III in 1984 at the Royal Shakespeare Company, an experience discussed in his memoir of the period, Year of the King. On June 15th, 1330, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, was born. The son of Edward III and the father of Richard II, he would predecease his father, leaving the throne to his very young son. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending June the 15th, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.